Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Love that music, and I also love Shelley Rand, and I love you guys too. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight on At Home with Victoria. I am super excited about our show tonight. Entertainment co-host Michael Kay, the fabulous MK, put the show together. And in fact, he is actually trying to call in to be a part of the show. I think he said he's using Skype, so I'm assuming that Skype is probably bumping him in and out of the system, and he's probably having some problems. So it may be easier, Michael, if you just dial in on the guest line that so you can get in on this show that you produced and joined. But the show is actually twofold. Michelle is going to be here. Michelle is basically a work sort of expert, and she's from Canada. So she's going to give us advice on basically, what we need to do to find the best job for us. So I'm excited about talking to her because I know a lot of companies, some companies pay a lot of money for different testing so that they can figure out what type of person they actually need to perform a job or a certain task. And I know a lot of those companies are quite successful. And then I know a lot of companies don't do it. So I was super excited to talk to Michelle about this topic. Also, the second part of the show, we are going to switch from career talk to actually music. Jesse Terry is going to join us. Jesse is actually out of Nashville, and he is nationally touring right now, and he's an award-winning singer as well as songwriter. So Michael Kay was able to get in touch with him. So we're going to listen to his music, and also we're going to talk with him a little bit about what is new in his world and also that he can tell us a little bit about himself. But with that said, we're going to go ahead and get the conversation started about career advice from Michelle Stegan. And I know Michael eventually will get to us and be able to call in and join the conversation. Michelle, thanks for joining us tonight. And how goes it in Canada?
It is sunny and beautiful and the start of a long weekend, so pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it's here in the States, it's actually was 74 degrees yesterday, a little bit chillier here today, but I think everybody's just happy that summer is fast approaching.
You bet.
So let me start off by saying if you could just tell us just briefly a little bit about yourself and how is it that you got to where you are now that you decided that, you know, this sort of being a career expert and the testing that we're going to talk about was really your passion and what you wanted to do in life.
Sure. Hopefully I can be brief and maybe elaborate later. I think that my journey is actually part of what I think is fascinating about all of this. I grew up in small town Saskatchewan. There was no such thing as career advising in those days. There was no internet in those days even to research post-secondaries or different occupations. So I kind of blindly, just looking at my grades alone, high grades in English, went into a two-year journalism program here in Lethbridge, Alberta, and didn't feel quite right, took a slightly different major, and it was a bit better for me, and spent 12 years, basically, actually 15 years, in a career that was great at the time, but looking back, I'm realizing how very wrong it was for me. So just through luck and networking and grace, I guess, the college trained me, the college where I work here, trained me to do interpretations on personality type and interest inventories, and that's how I got into it about just over a year ago. A little over a year ago now. So I'm still pretty new to the industry.
And you definitely feel like at this point that within your spirit and who you are, that this is really your calling and what you want to do.
It is. You know, I think I'm a poster girl for career advising and career planning, and just the success I've had with it, that, you know, conveniently pointed me to be literally a career advisor. Being able to help people go through their own journeys and, you know, just assuring them that it's absolutely possible to wake up and want to go to work. And it's simpler than you think. And that's just so rewarding to me. And it just, it just makes my heart sing. And every day is a great day. So I know I'm on the right path for sure.
I was thinking about just personally about myself, and I'm sure our listeners who are listening to you right now, and again, I want to thank them for taking the time to join us tonight, as well as Mar Bennett, who is producing in the chat room, and our friend Shannon, who is listening tonight all the way from the UK, from outside of London. So I want to thank Shannon for being with us also. But Michelle, I was thinking a lot about we as people, you know, we plan sort of our daily lives. We plan, you know, our life around that we're going to the store. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. A lot of people nowadays do plan for retirement. Some people don't plan for retirement. But I don't think as we grow up, or at least I can speak for myself, I never really had my parents or anybody really talk to me about planning for your career. Now, that didn't really start until you got to kind of high school and you talked to your high school counselors and you sort of got an idea of what it is that you wanted to do and all of that stuff. So I was just sort of thinking back on my own life experience. And, you know, I know we ask little kids when they're young, so what do you want to do when you grow up? So I just kind of feel like this whole idea of sort of planning a career, you know, it's kind of like we do it, but I don't really think that we actually, you know, I think some careers we get thrown into because whether it's financial reasons or we just need a job. So I guess what I'm saying is sometimes I don't think that people really spend a lot of time planning their career.
That's exactly it. You know, I teach in my workshops, there's four steps to career planning. The first step being the one that is so incredibly important that makes everything else easier, and also the step that most people completely ignore. And so just
right.
Spending time in that first step, which is called self-exploration. I mean, how can you possibly find a job that's perfect for you if you don't know what the heck you're looking for? It's like going to the store without a list, and you're just wandering aimlessly down the aisles and kind of grabbing something that kind of looks interesting, but you don't know if it's going to be good for you until you check it out. So, just investing that time, oh my gosh, it'll pay off, I promise. And whether you do that alone, I mean, there's incredible resources on the internet that you can use to go through that process yourself. If you want to work with someone on it, again, you can use the internet to find someone who can help you go through that process. Most educational institutions will have that type of person on staff like we do at the college, and it's so well worth it.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. And speaking of worth it, it is well worth it that entertainment co-host Michael Kay, I believe, is with us on the line. Are you alive and with us, darling?
I am online finally with you. I have no idea what had happened, but I know I have $7.99 worth of credit on Skype right now, so we'll see how that works out. But hi, everybody. Welcome, Michelle. How you doing, girl?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
So what? I'm doing good. What did I miss so far? What have we covered?
Well,
we're kind of done.
You're very good. You really didn't miss a lot. She kind of gave us the 411 on how it is that she got to this point at the college, and, you know, that this is a passion of hers and that she's found her passion. And then I just kind of threw out the first observation, and that's when you called in. So basically, Michael, I was saying how, and you've chimed in on this too, I was saying how for my own personal experience, you know, like we kind of, in our lives, we plan everything. You know, we plan for going to the store, we plan this, but, you know, a lot of people don't really plan for their careers. Not until you get to high school, you've got a guidance counselor who may give you some suggestions, or you may really start to think about it then. But Michael, now you're different because, as I remember, you always knew, in a sense, that you wanted to do hair and be in that industry. So that's kind of what you knew from the start, right?
Well, I initially wanted to be an actor, but I really realized, being raised by two parents who were extremely practical, that you would have to have something to go ahead and fall back on, basically, essentially, to pay the bills and put food in your stomach. So I basically chose hair as a logical thing, thinking I could do hair for movies and plays and everything, which I ended up doing in my career. But Michelle, I don't know what you think about this, especially with high school guidance counselors. I know you come from a very, very small town and stuff. Did you have a guidance counselor growing up in high school?
We had no such thing. Actually, just before I got to grade 12, I think our English teacher kind of took on the role of unofficial guidance counselor, in that she had an office where she could put the college calendars that were sent to the school instead of throwing them out. Now she had a place for them. So we were welcome to go down and look at these books. And she would definitely, I mean, she was wonderful and she helped as much as she could, but there just wasn't the same resources back then. You know, I share with my classes that I do recall taking some sort of computerized assessment. I don't know what grade it was. And this is how meaningful it was to me. I don't remember anything about what it said for me, but my friend who was sitting next to me clicked a box and kind of joked about it, because she clicked a box that said, I don't want to work with people. And the only occupation that came up for her was the person who grinds lenses to make new glasses. And that's how meaningful that experience was for me, right? So now, like, just having the internet is so much more than we had growing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I still find with high school students, they only know what they know. So they know that their mom's a nurse and their uncle's a vet, or their friend's mother is a teacher, you know. So they know about those occupations, and they either know that that would be good for them or not good for them. Or they've got a mom saying, oh, you should go be a nurse because you're really smart, or, you know, things like that. And it's about so much more than that. So, so much more than that. So,
well, you know, Michelle and Michael, something that was interesting for me was that I actually wanted to be to work for the airline industry, and I wanted to be one of those people that with those large cones would bring in the airplanes to the port.
Really?
So that was actually, yeah, it's weird. That was actually what I, you know, in my mind, what I wanted to do. And largely, Michelle, it's interesting. It was based on the fact I'd seen it on television, and it just looked pretty cool. That, I mean, it, to me, it looked pretty cool that literally you could have, like, you know, a person who weighed 130 pounds be responsible for bringing in this huge aircraft, and there was something about that that I thought was very cool. So it wasn't until when actually I kind of consider it a fluke. One day when I was in college, because I really hadn't declared a major at that point, and it was either a public speaking I had taken or English or something, but one of the teachers said to me, you know what, Victoria, you have a great voice. It's very clear. It's very distinctive. I really think you should think about going into broadcasting. And I had never even thought about broadcasting. I knew nothing about broadcasting. But once she actually planted that seed, I thought, you know what, it just makes sense, because I love to talk, I love information, and I was crazy for news. I always grew up in a house where the news was on all the time. My family was obsessed that we were the type of people that, you know, we knew every single thing that was going on in our community. Living in D.C., you had no choice. It was the nation's capital. So literally, I think if it wasn't for that teacher who actually just sort of threw that suggestion out, I really don't think I would have ever even thought about it.
Well, I think Vic, let me spin off this, Michelle. I think, Vic, you would have been successful in either one if you would have been actually pulling in planes. You could just smile, and they could just follow your smile, the beacon of light kind of a thing. But talking about that, Michelle, I know you mentioned computerized testing. Now, you are a certified practitioner of the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, or the MBTI, and the Strong Interest Inventory. And Vic, actually, I had taken both these tests with Michelle. Michelle, what is there, like 300 and some questions that you go through, and you go off the top of your head and everything. But Michelle, I actually found all of your downloads that you put in my Dropbox, so I have my actual results here. What I found so fascinating about this level of testing is because it's done purely on response, not perception kind of a thing. So you get a true assessment of what's underneath everybody's baggage. But, Michelle, tell us exactly what the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator is.
I would love to, and I would love the whole wide world to take it. The Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, what it seeks to determine is your preference on four different scales of opposites. And so it tells you how you prefer, or you tell it, and it spits it back to you, right? How you prefer to get your energy, how you prefer to gather and give information, how you prefer to make decisions, like what process you go through to do that, and how you interact with the world around you. And just knowing those things, I mean, yes, it's used for career planning. It is used for personal counseling, relationship counseling, family counseling, you name it, effective decision-making, leadership development. It just goes on and on. It's the most widely used personality assessment in the world, so translated into, you know, 30-plus languages and used throughout the world. In fact, most employees of Fortune 500 companies would be quite experienced with this, and some companies would even walk around with their four-letter Myers-Briggs personality type right on their name tag.
Right.
And as they go, as they walk down the hallway and go to meetings, they know exactly what that person needs from them, and it just makes communication easier.
Is it more like a
psych?
Is it more like sort of what you would consider a psych test, or more of a test that is an indicator that pulls bits and pieces of your personality out to kind of pair you with what your personality type is?
Yeah, it's a psychological assessment, so it's not a test, and that there's no right or wrong answers, and you don't get a score at the end. What it does is kind of funnel your answers between these pairs of opposites just to show you where your preference lies. So it's like we all walk around with this toolbox full of tools. We all have the same tools, but the ones that we use more often, we feel more comfortable with them because we were just naturally born with those preferences. We use those more often and we get more comfortable with them. But at any point, if we need to, we can pick a different tool out and use it. So it's our unique mix of how we use those preferences that makes us unique. And so the way it works is there's 16 different personality types. And, you know, Michael's an ENTJ, I'm an ISFJ. So we're almost kind of opposite there. And what it says about each person is weird because there's only 16 types, so how can it be so freakily accurate? But my last class I had on Friday, the guys, a bunch of guys in the room were just like, this is creepy. How does it know this about me? And, you know, some of them even had the same type, and they were like, no, this is totally me, and this is totally me. But it is. It's just that incredible. And so knowing this, you know, explains to me now why I felt so insecure in my marketing career for 15 years and why it drained my energy. And it's like, oh, no wonder. And now that I know this, I don't feel so bad and so hard on myself. And
right. Michael, what did your test, what can you give us a little insight to? Of course, we all think that we know your personality, Michael K., but was there anything surprising about the test after you took it that you thought, wow, well, that's interesting? Or was there this confirms who I am?
I'm super happy you said that, and I'm glad Michelle's on the line because she can go ahead and clear this up, because on the Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENTJ, so I'm extroverted. I have intuitive, I am thinking, and I am judging. The funny thing I found out is that I'm not a feeling person, Victoria. I really thought I was a feeling person. But, Michelle, explain what a non-feeling person is, just to clarify, so in case anybody thinks that I don't care about anybody. What is the exact – because I found your explanation fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I think that scale, so thinking versus feeling – relates to how you make decisions and which of those preferences you trust more and you go to first. So it has nothing to do with, you know, you're smart because you have a thinking preference, or you're a great, wonderful, warm person because you have a feeling preference. We're all going to dip a bit into both of those worlds. For you, your thinking preference was actually slight, and so that kind of and due to your age, because you're a pretty old man.
oh, you're funny.
Yeah, so what that means is you're still dipping into the feeling quite a bit, and you've learned, you know, to balance when you need to consider feeling versus thinking and decision-making. So using thinking and decision-making means you're very objective, and you're going to weigh your pros and cons. When a decision comes up, the first thing you're going to do is remove yourself from the situation, look at it very objectively, kind of remove emotion from it at that point.
Yeah.
Look at all the facts on the table, painstakingly look at it all, consider all of your options. And then your goal at the end is to make a decision that is going to be fair and consistent. And so the next time this situation comes up, it's going to be evaluated the same way. Boom, we're done. Okay.
Right.
So when someone who has a feeling preference makes a decision, the first place that they're going to go, or where they're going to trust and then go to first, is to the people that are going to be affected by that decision. And they might do that physically and go bounce ideas off of people, or they might just mentally, put themselves in someone else's shoes. And so an example of this, I mean, my daughter's only 8, and we gave her the choice of, okay, we've got a day coming, a day of no school coming up. Mom can take a day off work and stay home with you, or you could go to the after-school program. Which one do you want to do? And, of course, I'm thinking, of course she wants to stay home with Mom. I mean, it's the best place to be. But she thought about it and thought about it, and then she's like, well, if I don't go to the after-school program, who are my friends going to play with? And so it wasn't a logical decision to me. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, why would we do this?
Right.
But to her,
Plus, Michelle, with that said to me, is that shows a little bit is that she's not selfish. I mean, she literally was thinking about the other people within her group that she normally will see at that after school program. That her ability to think beyond just Mom and her is interesting for that age.
Oh, I know, Michelle. One second, Vic. Here's a funny thing about Michelle's daughter that I know, Kate. When Kate was celebrating, I think it was her 6th or 5th birthday party. It was the year of the tsunami. Is that right, Michelle? It was the tsunami. And so she had her birthday coming up, and her birthday is basically Monday ahead of mine. And so instead of expecting presents from her friends, she asked everybody to bring a card with $20 in it, and she would take that $20 and she would donate it to the relief efforts for the tsunami. And I talked to Michelle, and I said, did you goad her into this? Michelle says, I never even thought of doing that myself. So that's the difference. That personality is intrinsically at the age of 7 versus, and we're all the same people at 7 that we are at 57, 67, stuff like that. It's just finding out and honing in on that thing. But yes, she is that little person, boy. But fantastic little girl, Michelle. I want to touch very, very quickly on the strong report. Now I'm going to go ahead and pull up my strong report, and then you're going to go ahead and tell me exactly how it plays off the back of the Myers-Briggs. But, Victoria, this is hilarious. So you take all these questions, answer at will and stuff like that. So they give you your top 10 strong occupations. Now, I will start from 10 is registered nurse, 9 occupational therapist, 8 editor, which I was an editor, 7 is speech pathologist, 6 is social worker, 5 flight attendant. Number 4 is cosmetologist, which I did for 20-some years. 3, corporate trainer, which I did for 19 years, college instructor, which I taught, and number 1 came up broadcast journalist, Victoria. Ain't that something?
Wow. That is
amazing.
Freaky.
Yeah. So, Michelle, tell us what the Strong Report is.
Okay, great. What the Strong does is, this was back in the 1920s that this was developed, and they looked at all of the occupations at the time. And they decided, or they figured out, that they could group all occupations into 6 different categories, which they call occupational themes, general occupational themes. And they could group everything into these 6 categories. And the groupings were divided based on how people are even motivated to get out of bed in the morning. Is the biggest difference between all of the categories. What motivates you to get out of bed? Drastically different from one category to the next, and that's my favorite part. So what it does in practice is you answer, yes, 291 questions on this assessment, and it's not an aptitude test. It's only an inventory of your interests. So we're not saying that you're skilled to do any of these things, but they seem interesting to you. And as you go through the questions, you're ranking how interesting all of these different things are. So they talk about school subjects, actual occupations, but also work tasks, leisure activities, and types of people that you like and that you want to hang out with during your work day. And based on all of that, that's what gives you your top 10 out of 122 possible occupational categories. And so they come out looking very literally like a job title, like a broadcast journalist. But within that, there might be, you know, 15 different occupations, like a promoter, a DJ, mm-hmm. things like that, right. that are related to that industry. But it's artistic in nature. These people love creative expression. It's a little bit enterprising in that they can kind of get their point across to someone and influence someone's opinion. So does that sound about right for you guys?
It certainly does.
Yeah.
Michelle, how do people go ahead and actually be able to go ahead and take these tests? Is there an online place that people can go to? Because I see there's a lot of information up in the chat. I actually want to go quickly to chat. I want to thank all of you guys. Jesse Terry, our next guest, is up in chat. Mara B. from Nashville, Sandy from Nebraska, and Shannon Sybil from the UK joining us tonight. But where can people go ahead and find this? Because I thought it was incredibly insightful and really helped put the stamp on the approval of my own decision-making. So where can we go ahead and take this?
Okay. The best place to go is to go to your local college, university, or employment center in your community and see if they have a career advisor who's certified. So you want to find someone who's certified to deliver those assessments. You will find countless websites online that will offer you a chance to take a free version of the Myers-Briggs type indicator. You get what you pay for. And so the Myers-Briggs is, you know, as dynamic as it is because there was 60 years worth of research and development that went into it, and it's constantly being scrutinized and improved. And so it's going to be accurate every time. You know, people can do the paid version and then take a free online one, and it kind of matches up, so they think that that's effective, but it's not. And the strong you can only take online. They just released, I don't know how long ago this was, it's pretty recent, since my training, you can actually go to MBTIComplete.com. And for $59.95 US, you can actually now take a Myers-Briggs assessment, and they will actually it's an interactive thing that actually interprets for you as you go through the process. So it's I'm surprised to see that because they really stressed heavily in our training that only a certified practitioner could deliver these results, but they must have found a way
right.
then to deliver it in that format. I think it's worth meeting with someone to go through it because they're going to have a lot more insight into it that makes a world of difference.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, also I find the interpretation that you went ahead and gave me, it made a lot more sense than for me just actually reading through it, but for you to actually go ahead and walk. So I think a certified career advisor is definitely important. Vic, are you going to go ahead and take this test? It would be so interesting to know exactly that you were suited for.
I'll definitely put that on my list of things to do. But, yeah, I mean, I like Michael, if anything, taking it for the reason that you said about validating your own choices in your own life.
Yeah.
So that really does feel like you make a that will make a difference, you know, like if you take it and it says, hey, you know, Victoria, you're doing exactly something that was suited for you, whatever. So I just think that should, you know, really cool just to kind of have that sort of marinated in your head that, you know, this test, you know, is certainly something that would validate what it is that you're doing. But Michelle, I wanted to ask you something that's kind of, I guess, similar in a certain way with these types of tests. I also think that, you know, a lot of people, you have a certain type of personality. Like, for example, I think Michael's personality to me is a type of personality that no matter what job he decides to do or, you know, whether it's get involved in, you know, whether it's an organization, nonprofit, that when he makes the decision that he wants to do something, that he's the type of person, and Mark Bennett is just the same way, that no matter what they decide to do, they're pretty much going to be good at it.
Absolutely. Michael's type is actually called the commander. And his unique set of tools gets him really excited about seeing what's not working, knowing how to fix that, fixing that, and kind of taking charge of stuff, but also motivating others along the way. And so I see him doing this type of work now, and it just excites me to no end, because he loves that research and getting in and finding a new talent and just being so excited about it that he can't help but radiate that excitement and get everyone else excited about it too, right? So it's like, come, this new musician is amazing. Everybody, come listen to my show and learn more about him and download his music and everything like that. And so almost forceful with his recommendation, because he's just so...
It's simply assertive. It's simply, when I find something fantastic, I think everybody should listen to it. And I just, because there's so much crap out there. But that's exactly right about needing to go ahead. And I'm so anxious to go ahead and find out what I think. And again, this is a validation thing. If what I think is good and if lots of people like it, then it means like I'm not as stupid as I look, which is a total, total validation. But that's certainly the way it goes.
Speaking of validation, Michelle and Michael, I think people, certainly get validation in different areas. Like a perfect example with me is that the most amazing type of validation that I can get, it's not, of course I love it when people say that I've done a great story or they appreciate that. Like, that's like, oh, great, that really, really makes me happy. But the most thing that I get validation out of, it's very crazy, but it's cleaning. And I was talking to this guy the other day, because I've been doing some spring cleaning, and he looked at me, and he was somebody, a friend visiting the house, and he was like, you really like doing that, don't you? And I said, yeah. And I looked at him, I said, I guess what it is that it's instant gratification for me. I love to be able to see something that's like, whether it's dirty or messy or whatever, but then I have the ability to immediately go right then and there at that time, this time and space, I can clean it up and I can completely make it look different and I can look at it and say, wow. And like I said, it's very simple, but that stuff makes me so happy. So it took me a while, it was funny, to figure out why it was. It took me a long time to figure out, why is it that I love cleaning? Why do I like to put stuff that, in order? Why do I like that? And then one day it just dawned on me, it's like, duh, because it gives you instant gratification, it makes you happy. Instantly it just makes me happy.
Absolutely.
And what's good about, we would say that the Myers-Briggs kind of talks about, here's how you're going to prefer to do the work that you choose to do. The tasks that are going to be more appealing to you than others, whether that's detail work or big ideas or whatnot. The strong interest inventory is what seems interesting for you to do. And so if it's interesting, it's going to be easier to train for, first of all. So, post-secondary is going to be much easier. And then doing that work is going to be interesting. So if you're doing the work you love and in the preferred way that you like to do it, that's my career, and that's what I want for everybody. But the strong also points out, and along the lines with the cleaning, it does point out occupations, but it's just, this is everything that you're interested in. So some of that you can do as an occupation. Some of it you can do as a hobby, or just something you do when you're at home, or what you want to talk about when you're with your friends. And so cleaning
One thing about cleaning, I'm sorry to interrupt you, and it made me think about Michael and how, because there literally was a process that I went through when I selected him to be a part of my show. I had gotten many people who had asked me, but he had a specific trait that I really, really liked and that I knew that I needed for the show, and that's somebody who's very obsessive about details and who also loves to research. But I realized with the whole cleaning thing and organization thing, that translates very well to television and to broadcasting, because every single thing is constantly in your mind. It's basically just organizing information and regurgitating is what it is. So right. It was interesting that, once I started to think about sort of why is it that I like cleaning and sort of planning out my day, literally every single thing about my personal life translates exactly to television news. Even in something as simple as in television news, every single day, all the reporters and everybody, we work off what's called a rundown. So in my mind, when I wake up, I realize one day I basically have a rundown in my head. It's the same thing at work. So it's interesting to see when I really thought about it, the sort of parallels between, how I am at home versus the type of job that I chose, because both of them are pretty much the same, actually.
Well, they are, but Vic is entirely anal retentive, but not to the step that she has to be institutionalized. I mean, Vic's attention to detail, she has a focus, she has a way to get things done. Vic, I think it would be a fantastic idea for you to go ahead and take this, and then we can actually have Michelle back on go ahead and read you that way, because I think that would be interesting. Michelle, we're running out of time with you and stuff, but I want to thank you so much for coming on. And anything new coming up your way down the pipeline? I hear your contract was reinstated with the Lethbridge Community College of Alberta, Canada. I want to give them a plug because it seems like a fantastic college. But so you're actually renewed for the year?
Yeah, extended to the end of the year, so that's good. And we've got demand coming out of the yin-yang, so it's great. We've actually got a free promotion with our local high schools, and grade 11 and 12 students can take the assessments for free, so they're saving $60-some for that, which makes the career counselors in the schools very, very happy, because, I mean, they're sometimes looking at 900 students that they're counseling, so this takes a lot of the weight off, and they're learning so much, and it just translates to people going into careers for the right reasons, and they're going to be happier, and then dealing with those people is going to be lovely, and everyone's going to be happy, and the world will be a better place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Michelle, like Michael said, thank you so much, and Michael, we'll do that. I'll take the test, and I know we had a few folks that had questions, so we'll save the questions, and we'll just have you back on.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. Michelle, okay. Michelle's going to hang around actually on the line for the entire time. But Vic, wasn't that interesting? I wish we had more time with her, but we'll have it back. But,
it was a
really cool way. And I really think now in today's economic times that it would benefit people to go ahead and take this test, because you never really understand what your uncovered, undiscovered talent is. So I think that's really great. But I see Jesse Terry's holding. Vic, I'm really happy. I'm so happy, everybody, to Jesse Terry. We've tried to go ahead and connect on a few times, but Nashville Zone Jesse Terry is with us tonight. And Victoria.
Well, listen, should we play one of his songs and have him come on, or just have him come
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. I just want to go ahead and tell you a little bit about him. Basically, because you've never listened to him yet. I know that about you, because you like to have it on the last minute. But
Fresh.
Basically, consider if Neil Young and James Taylor had a baby, Jesse Terry would be the outcome. It is that kind of voice. So Jesse Terry's with us. We're going to go ahead and take your questions a little bit later in the show and actually give some giveaways. So the giveaway number is 718-664-9364. We're going to go ahead and play Grace on a Train to start off with Victoria. So this is Jesse Terry. We're going to come back with
and the silence stung my ears with her gaze so far from here. Maybe Portugal or Spain. Oh, I just don't know why I said hello. As snow was falling at New Year's Day, I found grace on a train. I found grace on a train. I know I listened to her then. never thought of it again until I saw her face by chance when my life jumped the track. It all came rushing back. Call it just a random twist of fate.
Terry, Grace on a Train. What do you think, Vic?
I absolutely love it. His voice just melts my heart. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Jess. How are you doing?
Hey, Jess.
We
nice
love
to
you.
Have you here.
Yeah, I love you back. This is so cool. I've
Michael,
never heard
take
my
it away.
I've never heard one of my songs over the phone like that.
It's kind of cool.
What do you think?
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Jesse, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're in Nashville now. Where were you born? Where were you raised? How big was your family?
I live in New York now.
Really?
Yeah, we moved in March, kind of a random thing. We just came up here for a few weeks, kind of like house sitting gig, and my wife got a job in New York City, so I like to just go with things if they appear, so it just felt like the right thing to do. So, yeah, so we're in New York now and loving it. But I love Nashville. I'll be there next week. All week. So.
You just came home from Oregon, correct?
Yeah, that was amazing. We had eight shows.
Isn't that an amazing coastline, traveling up and down the coast? Some of the best
amazing.
Beach, better than Hawaii, I found.
Really? I've never been to Hawaii. That's some place I really want to go, but... Oregon.
Well,
and, like,
I've seen pictures, though.
Yeah, I mean, Northern California and Oregon, like, we stayed a night at on Cannon Beach in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and we got comped with, like, probably the nicest hotel room I've ever seen. and we stayed there overnight, and I just, like, never wanted to leave. It was just unbelievable. You could, like, take a hot tub, like, while watching the ocean and watching TV. It was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, but
that
nice. And of course the shows were fun too.
Nice.
Yeah,
make me want to go there now.
Yeah,
Jesse, tell us about the music audiences in Portland. I've interviewed a lot of people from all four corners of the states and everything up in Canada, but I know that the Oregon audiences are a lot different than the Nashville audiences when it comes to playing live. What do you think the difference is between playing live in Portland and playing live, say, at the Bluebird in Nashville?
Well, the Bluebird's kind of a unique venue because it's mainly tourists. Especially on the weekend, so I love playing the Bluebird because most of the people aren't from Nashville. Because I think people in Nashville are just exposed, like overexposed to such incredible talent that it's kind of hard to get them excited. And I totally get it. I totally understand. And Portland has an amazing live music scene, but the audiences were really, really into it and, like, just really responsive and bought a lot of records, and they were amazing. I mean, we've been emailing back and forth, like, all week, and I miss it already, you know, even though it is always raining and overcast, I still miss it.
Yeah, absolutely. Vic, Jesse has his second album coming out. Jesse, your first album was entitled The Runner.
The Runner, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all that's available on Amazon and iTunes, and actually Bart just went ahead and put your link up in. But Vic, his second album, the release is coming out in New York on July 11th, I believe, if that's not right.
Yeah.
So I think Vic, you and I should try and go ahead and make it down to, I think, what are you playing at, the Bitter End?
Oh, that'd be killer. I'm actually playing at this place called Rockwood Music Hall, which is, it's awesome. It's like just one of my favorite rooms in the whole country, and just a really beautiful, vibey, like, candlelit room. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, anytime, Michael, you know, anytime I have the opportunity to visit New York, and if it's in conjunction with music, then, you know, I am always, always excited about that. So, Jesse, that would be very cool.
Yeah,
so, Jesse,
I
have a question about your music. So, is it safe that you've always sort of grew up, you know, singing? And how is it that you kind of settled on this particular style of music that we just heard?
I grew up with musician parents. My dad still does it full time. My mom's a full time artist, so I avoided it as long as I could. Just because I kind of saw their, you know, some of their struggles, and I think there's a certain part of you that, like, doesn't really want to do what your parents do, but so I went to art school and you know, studied fine art, and then I started playing guitar, and songwriting was the ultimate expression for me. It was just I just got the songwriting bug really, really bad, and yeah, I've never looked back. Like, I was 18 then, 18 or 19, mm-hmm. and I've never been away from my guitar for more than, you know, a few days.
Wow.
And I just can't, you know, I just, it's like, it's kind of like an extension of me. Whereas, like, before, I felt like I could be away from a canvas for a while and be okay
mm-hmm.
with that. So I was listening to the lady before, what was her name?
Michelle.
Yeah, I'm terrible with names. She was so good, so smart.
Yeah, I know she is, isn't she?
Yeah, she's amazing.
I agree.
Yeah, she had a lot of really cool things to say. But yeah, I think it's about finding that, you know, that one thing that you just love and that you can just, you know, wake up every day and, like, want to do for, you know, 12 hours, and it's like, it's a lot of hard work, but it's joyful. You know, and that's what I got with music.
Yeah, Jesse, I think if you took the Myers-Briggs, or if you took the Strong Report, I still don't think you'd come up with accountant or, you know, EMT or anything like that. It would probably come up with something close to what you're doing now, because you're so good at it.
Oh,
but,
thank you, brother. Yeah.
Oh,
I
absolutely,
so.
My friend.
I blame
Marilyn Bennett for our little bromance. I know you're married, but I certainly do. But
bromance is cool, man. I'm down with a little bromance. That's cool.
Absolutely. I want to go ahead and play a little bit more music. I want to go ahead and make everybody definitely aware of the Jesse Terry legacy that's soon about to be. I can certainly see you becoming a Neil Young, James Taylor kind of a thing. To me, you look like Josh Groban, but with shorter hair, kind of a thing, which is worse people to look like, but I want to go to a little bit more music. We're going to go to Jesse Terry's Scared of Nothing, actually. And
cool,
when we come back, we're going to go ahead and talk to Jesse a little bit more about the story behind Scared of Nothing. But stay tuned. We're going to be giving away a couple CD giveaways. So feel free to go ahead and call in to win. The number is 718-664-9364. We'll be taking callers in about 6 minutes. So till then, Jesse Terry, Scared of Nothing.
summer that drive to the cover bar. Oh, Charlie had to wake us in the back of the car. And there were strangers in Vanuatu, such a foreign land. Yeah, we sailed away, never ready to go. Only had each other when the South Seas rose. But nothing ever seemed to shake me and you. Built our own little castle in our rundown room. Oh, baby, I don't have all the answers yet. Tomorrow ocean, let's cross. But there's no fear now, as the moonlight hits the floor. I said, baby, I ain't scared of nothing. Baby, I ain't scared of nothing no more. But tomorrow we're pulling out of Tennessee. Gonna see where those roads out west will lead. You know I always dreamed to get out on the road. I just couldn't bear to sing these songs alone. Oh, you and I will live our whole lives in a fortress. So I feel like I know where you've been. And I guess that you never really lose your scars from that. Until you truly find your other half. There ain't nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. There's no fear now, as the moonlight hits the floor. I said, baby, I ain't scared of nothing. Baby, I ain't scared of nothing. Baby, I ain't scared of nothing no more.
Jesse Berry.
I just simply love that song.
I know, it keeps getting better, don't it? We're going to go ahead and take your call in in 2.5 minutes. Go ahead and call in now to go ahead and win an autographed CD from Jesse Terry. But Jesse, give us the background, the 411 on this song.
On this song, okay, I'll try to give like the non paperback version of this.
give us the grit, buddy.
I'll try to give you the condensed version, but. I went out to the South Pacific in 2010 because I had a publishing deal in Nashville for 5 years, and then that company closed, and I was waiting tables, and I was really, really bad. Definitely wouldn't have got that from the career counselor. That wouldn't have been the job. And I got a call from an agent who was like, do you want to go cruise the South Pacific for 5 months? And play cover songs, and I was like, yeah, I actually do, you know, and so I went there, and I met my wife on the second day, Jess, as well. We're now Jesse and Jess Terry, and
that's so cute. I just want to puke, you know what I mean?
I know, I do. Yeah, she's pretty awesome. But she's a New Zealander, and this is, that song was just about, like, facing fear and falling in love and really like her giving me the strength to face fear head on. Cause I think before I met her, I felt a little alone in the world. And, she gave me a boost, and she like her faith in me really really led me to conquer a lot of things that I think I was fearful of.
Right.
So that's kind
and
of
speaking
the
of her,
condensed
and
version.
Speaking of her, Jesse, just one second quick. I'm looking at your website, Jesse Terry, and I'm looking at the Cross Country Mishaps, Western Tour, Yellowstone, and the Grizzly Bear. So I want everybody to
awesome.
Know if you want. Yeah, I want everybody to know if you want to see some pictures and also just look at some very cool adventures. I'm looking at a flat tire right now, so I'm assuming you guys made it okay because you're here. The cabin looks absolutely beautiful, and the pictures are just magnificent. So you guys have got to go to his website and check it out. I basically just clicked on his website blog, so I just think it's worth your time to kind of, you know, take a look at it, Michael, and that gives you just a really cool sort of down-home feeling about you and your life and kind of your adventures and what you guys are doing. So I just had to put my two cents in there because it's very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a lot of – we spent 8 straight months on the road together before she got a real job, and it was unbelievable, just so amazing. I mean, and we were really, really poor during that time, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was just – it was so amazing.
Yeah, poor means real, and real is exactly what you are. Want to go ahead. We have a couple calls, actually, in let's give away both CDs right now, Jess.
Cool.
Let's go to the 402. You're live on the air with At Home with Victoria. Congratulations. You're a winner. Who is this?
This is Sandy. Hi, MK.
Hey, Sandy from Nebraska.
Hi, Victoria.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Sandy, you're live on the air with Jesse Terry. Any questions?
I just got to tell him, if he takes pictures, he's in trouble, because me and Victoria, it's all about pictures, don't we, Victoria?
Yes, we do.
Yes,
he's got
a
lot of pictures on his website, Sandy. You got to definitely go on there and check it out.
You know I'm going to.
What did you think
about
his music?
Where are you going, Vic? Are you going to my Facebook page, or what website are you going to?
I am on your personal website, Jesse Terry. Personal website, jesseterrymusic.com.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know there was pictures of the grizzly bear on there.
If you go on that website, it's the official website, jesseterrymusic.com, and it'll have home tour, bio, news, media, hit blog, and it's got all these fabulous pictures. So that's where I'm looking.
That's my unfinished blog. I stopped writing that right before the wedding, and I need to pick up where I left off. You know?
But we can also find you on Facebook as well, I think, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So Facebook also. But, Sandy, how did you like the music?
I loved it. You know me, I love all kinds of music. I do. I think he's very talented. I'm going to definitely listen to this CD and spread his name around on my Facebook. You know how I am. I got to be all right, you know, in the moment. No problem, Jesse. I wanted to say was... So do you travel quite a bit with your music? I mean, I know a lot of people, they go, you know, up and down the coast. And, I mean, do you do a lot of traveling for, like, different shows?
I do. I'm always balancing it with my marriage, of course. But, you know, I just spent 10 days in Oregon, and now I'm home for 10 days. And then on Tuesday I leave for 8 days in Nashville and South Carolina, and then I come home, and then, so it's kind of, I try to be gone, like, tops 2 weeks out of a month, you know, because we just, you know, my wife and I miss each other so much, and I try to really pack my tours in, so I'm just getting as many shows as possible, and I try to fly when I can, but I love traveling, you know, I mean, I get to travel all over the country and meet folks from, you know, I was in St. Petersburg, Florida a few weeks ago, and that was awesome. And it's just a really fun, life, you know?
Yeah. Well, Sandy is a proud winner of a CD from Jesse Terry. Going to go to the second winner. Hi, you're live on the air with Home of Victoria. How are you? Who are you? And any questions for Jesse? Hello?
Yes, this is Mr. B.
Mr. B,
hi,
how
Mr.
are
B.
you? Marban's husband.
How are you? I'm calling for Shannon Seibold.
Well, Shannon's the Bald actually just won herself a Jesse Terry CD, so that's fantastic. Thanks for calling in, Mr. B. How are you? Any questions for Jesse tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm sitting here watching the Masters and listening to you guys.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I admire your ability to multitask.
Do both.
Well, that's pretty rare.
Cool,
okay,
beans.
Folks.
You
have
got it, man.
Here.
Thanks for calling in. Take care.
All right.
All right. There's our two winners for tonight. I'm going to go. Let's
famous.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Mr. B. He sounds like you guys know him. Like he's famous.
Mr. B. is Mar B.'s husband. Mr. B. works for the Grand Ole Opry and a good friend of ours,
and just a
charming fellow, and takes good care of our chat room producer. But let's go to a little bit more music. Jesse Terry, Let the Blue Skies Go to Your Head. Jesse, I want to hear the story behind this one, but stay tuned and post your questions in chat. Hold on.
About a quarter to nine, you can hear the boardwalk and the carnival rides, and it's much too early just to sit at home. But you only see thorns as he hands you a rose, as you lean on the hood of his car. His engine's warm, he's waiting for you. Tell me what you got. It's so hard for you to believe something real. You're always counting on rain, like it's always gonna fall the same. Oh, don't go inside, don't you play dead, honey, let the blue skies go to your head. Flashy your childhood in its halogen light. You can picture him leaving without a goodbye. You gotta push that away, girl, or you'll never get out. And this cruel old world will keep crumbling down. You ain't always gonna be this young. His engine's warm, waiting for you. Tell me what you got to lose. It's so hard for you to believe it's something real. You're always counting on rain, like the snow's gonna fall the same. Oh, don't go inside, don't you play dead, honey, let the blue sky go to your head. Oh, 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 it's a long, hard fall. Oh, 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 but you can't lose them all. Oh, always gonna fall the same. Oh, don't go inside, don't you play dead, honey, let the blue skies go to your head. Don't go inside, don't you play dead, honey, let the blue skies go to your head. Again,
let the blue skies go to your head. Okay, Jesse, give us the story.
Thanks
on that
plan.
One.
I actually just wrote that song for this really lovely person I know that's just extremely negative.
I'm liking your story so far.
Which could also, the two can really, they can coincide. I know a lot of negative people that I love dearly, but she's kind of always waiting for the rug to be pulled out from under her, which I think is a good way to have the rug pulled out from under you. So I wrote that song, you know, inspired by her. I have to get off this chat. I can't multitask like Mr. V. I can't look at it. They're asking me questions on there, and I can't do both. I can't even check my email.
Everybody loves you, buddy. But good point to bring up. It's all about optional thinking, and I'm going to go ahead and bring Michelle back on the line because I know she wants to go ahead and say hello to you. Michelle, you're back online. Michelle, Jesse, Michelle.
Hey, hi.
Hey, Michelle, how are you doing?
Fabulous. You're
very, very smart. Almost intimidating how smart you are.
Well, keep telling me that, and maybe I'll believe it someday. You know, that's what happens when you're doing the right thing, though. Hey, Jesse.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely have found your path, and you obviously love it, which I applaud. You know.
Yeah. Well, you as well. I love that you said, you know, painting was what you were going after, but you could actually leave that and be okay with it, whereas music you couldn't, eh? Yeah,
I couldn't leave music. I mean, I don't think it's a good path to go down unless you, like, need it, you know, like, in capital letters, need. And I think, you know, I think you find that out, you know, and after many years, I'm starting to make a living, but I loved it so much that it kept me going, you know.
You know, and I've worked with a number of students that come in and they're like, yeah, I taught myself guitar and I'm pretty excited about that and I love it. And so on one of their assessments, we'll say something along the lines of a musician and they're just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go do this. And it's like, well, it's not telling you you're going to be gifted at it and make a lot of money. It's saying you have some interest in that direction. So it's not often I work with someone who actually pursues. Well, it's never that I've worked with someone who's gone ahead and pursued being an actual professional musician. You know, normally they have to, I would encourage them to do that on the side while they're doing something else.
Right.
So it's great when you're able to just go after it. That's fantastic.
Oh, I'm very, very grateful, like very grateful to do it full time.
I noticed on one of your websites a connection to a couple of my favorite singer-songwriters, Sean Mullins and Skylar Fisk. Were you able to meet them and work with them, or were you just in the same venue, or how did that work?
I met Sean. I doubt that he would remember shaking my hand, but we played the same festival, this wonderful festival called 38 Songwriters Festival, which is down in, like, the Seaside area, which is, like one of my favorite places in the world now, Seaside, Florida. Have you ever been down there?
No.
Oh, it's incredible. It's, like, it's where they filmed the Truman Show. It's just, like, the perfect place. And
picturesque.
But they have this amazing festival every year, and they've had me the last 2 years. And, you know, Sean Mullins has been there, and Rodney Crowell, and all these heroes. So I've been able to meet a few. I've never slipped them my CD or you know, I just wanted to shake their hands and said thank you for the inspiration. But I love Sean Mullins. He's just so great.
Well, Vic, I think we're listening to the Michelle and Jesse show right now.
I think so, too.
I think
they have taken over the
you
podcast.
Guys.
Yeah,
no, it's fantastic. The information
is
great.
And that's fine. You know, you and I, we're very good listeners, too. You know, we're cool with that. That's fine.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just one burning question, and that's the perception of what being a musician would be versus the reality. And so what are some tasks that are part of your career now that you do, and maybe you don't enjoy them, or you wouldn't expect others to enjoy them. You know, people considering that career.
What are some of the tasks that I have to do as an indie artist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Like
all
the whole marketing, self-promotion,
everything.
Being your own roadie, perhaps, all of that, eh?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely everything. Like, I made this record, and, I mean, my life tends to move in these waves right now where, like, I haven't written a song in 2 months, but I've just been, like, working music business just, like, you know, 12 hours a day and social media and coordinating, like, PR campaigns and also just, like, you know, being in touch with fans and, you know, replying to every email and just kind of, because I really, really appreciate my fans because, like, they're a very loyal bunch, and without them, I'd be a waiter, you know. I do everything, and that's kind of like, I think a lot of people who can't do this for a full time living, it's because maybe they don't have the work ethic, or maybe they think that it's easier than it is. But I really, really enjoy it. I really enjoy, like, the emailing and the booking. I mean, booking is a full-time job in itself.
Well, booking, and I think the social media aspect of it for an indie artist goes on. Michelle, thanks for calling in. I had to put you on mute because you're threatening my job, and I don't like that aspect of it. I'm very controlling. But
she's good. She's really good.
She is good, you know. She's my sis. But Jess, we're running out of a little bit of time. Tell us where we can go ahead and find you. I know you're on Reverb Nation. I know you're on iTunes. I know you're on Amazon. I know you're on Facebook. All those links are up in chat. But any place else we can go ahead and find and keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, jessieterrymusic.com, JessieTerry music.com. That's probably, like, the best starting place, my official website.
Right.
Jesse,
I have the little that I have been able to get in on the conversation. I have really appreciated you being on my show At Home with Victoria, and thanks for friending me on Facebook. I just accepted, and I just really love your music, and of course you're more than welcome to come back anytime. Michael, you were right. I knew Michael says, Vic, you're going to love him. You're going to love it. So, Michael, you were absolutely right. So, Jesse, all of us thank you. We appreciate it. Say hi to your wife and have a good night, okay?
I will. Thanks so much for having me.
Take care, Jess. We'll have you back. Your home's here, too. Want to give a quick thanks to everybody up in chat, Brendan Reagan, Jesse Terry, Marb in Nashville. Great job up in chat. Ms. Deegan, thanks for joining us. Sandy from Nebraska and Shannon Sabal from the UK for staying up so late. Vic, don't you just adore Jesse? I mean, seriously?
Yes, I do. I do. And you know, really, his music is exactly the way that you described it to me. You know, really is a combination between the two. And one thing that I like about him is that he's young. And he certainly is a artist who's on the rise and upcoming, which is very cool. Because as you always say, Michael, you know, that means that we get these guys first on At Home with Victoria. So, you know, they're already mainstream, but once they sort of go worldwide, then we can say that we knew them when. So I just applaud you and continue to thank you for bringing, you know, enriching my life with bringing new artists At Home with Victoria. So we all love that. And, of course, Michelle was just simply fabulous. I mean, of course, we could sit there and talk to her forever. So I'm looking forward to having Michelle back. I'm going to go ahead and take that test. And I hope other people can take it so that we can have another discussion with Michelle. Because I had like a million questions. I could have easily done an hour and a half just talking to Michelle about that. Because it's just so interesting, you know.
Yeah, she's not bad stuff. But Vic, go ahead and say goodbye. I'll play us out with a little bit more Jesse Terry music. But I want to thank everybody for go ahead and listening to both of us. Vic, go ahead and say a big goodbye.
Goodbye. I'll see you guys later.
Take care, everybody. Join us next week when we have Preston Leatherman and Alex Gambert. Jesse Terry with Coyotes.
Overrunning this town.
in a past so pretty, and I've been staying inside. But I can't fall asleep. My ears keep ringing all night, hearing them howl. All night, hearing them howl. Coyotes. I used to be one of their kind. I remember them smiling when they left me for dead. I wanna settle the score, but they're experts in hiding all night, hearing them howl. All night, hearing them howl. Yeah, there's armor and numbers, they never stray too far. When you forget about them, oh, they hit you like thunder all night, hearing them howl. All night, hearing them howl.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.